The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
To have had a week, but you just needed a touch.
Yes, God.
Just a touch from
me. Thank you, God.
While we were praising, one of the sisters said, I just need a word. She said, I need a word. And as she said it, God said, tell her, there is a word from God today. Hallelujah. There is a word. In spite of all that has happened this week, in spite of all that has happened this year, there still is a word from the Lord. Amen. Oh, my. Okay. Amen. 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 So we thank God for allowing us to be in the atmosphere. I don't know if you know, but somebody didn't get up this morning. Somebody is in the hospital and wishing they could be in the atmosphere, in the sanctuary, and lifting up their holy hands and saying, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Amen. Sometimes we just need to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Amen. I'm excited this morning because God's going to do something new. Got my notes, and he said, just put them up. And I said, okay, I'm just going to ride on the wings. Sometimes you got to, because we're talking about the wind today, so it's not unusual that we're saying, God, rain. If it's going to rain, you're going to feel the wind blowing. Amen. 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 And I just thank God because we're going to look at Mark, the fourth chapter today. And I'm just going to dip and dab in a few places, but I'm going to park at the end of Mark. But we're going to start at the beginning of Mark 4. Amen. And if you have it, stand on your feet so that we might honor the word of God. Amen. And the scripture said in verse Matthew 4 and 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine. Now let's skip down to verse, at the end of the chapter, verse 35. And that same day, when the eve was come, he said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared, exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. And so we're going to speak a little bit on this morning, peace in the midst of a storm. And I almost changed it. Really, we changed it several times. You can have a seat. Because God said, really, you ought to tell them that there's more than just one storm, but let's just start off with just one. Amen. Peace in the midst of the storm. And I think it's just fitting that the Lord told me to close my notebook up. He said, because you walk this one. It's a different thing when you walk it, you know, when you lived it. And we're going to take a look at how Jesus did some stuff. But I'm telling you, every believer, there will come a day when you're going to have to walk that word. Amen. You're going to have to walk it. You can sing it. You can talk it. But there's going to come a day when you're going to have to live it. And when you live it, nobody is going to be able to shake where you stand in him. But you got to live it first. So we're talking about peace in the midst of the storm. And before we get to the storm, we're going to start off where Jesus, at the first verse, has said, and he began again to teach. So it just let us know that Jesus was teaching in the third chapter of Mark, and now he's getting ready to teach again. There are some things we ought to do again. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to praise again. I'm going to forgive again. I'm going to rest again. I'm going to have hope in Christ again. Every morning we get up, we're going to say, I am going to thank God again that I have new mercies. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Not that we've been so great. It is just of his mercy that we are not consumed. Great is his faithfulness toward us. Not that we have been faithful toward him every hour of the day, but he has remained faithful even in our unfaithfulness. That's just who he is. And so he was teaching by the seashore. And the scripture said that the crowd was so large that they had to come up with another plan. So they said, Jesus, if you get in the boat. So he got in the boat. He sat in the boat. We're going to talk about Jesus' position. All through the sermon, I want you to note Jesus' position. Because we can learn some stuff from his positions so that we can then develop the position that Jesus have when he is walking, teaching, whatever he's doing, there's always a position. All right, so Jesus went in, sat in the boat. They pushed the boat out of the water. Honey, do you have the boat up? put the boat up for a second. They sat in the boat, right? He sat in the boat. But around the seashore, on the edge, that's where the people were. But he was in the ship. Amen. And he sat. Now, you know, we always have picture Jesus going in the synagogue, and he stood up, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He stood. But this time, he is sitting because there's some things that he need to teach. And he said, I got to sit on this one. And he began to teach the crowd. Jesus taught them. Nobody else was the teacher. The master teacher was on campus that day. Just like you had a big conference and you had one big name. It wasn't T.G. Jakes. It wasn't Billy Graham, who's now going home. It wasn't any of the great. It wasn't anyone but Jesus. And he was the only one that was on the agenda for the day. And scripture said he taught many parables. He had a day-long teaching. And so I said, God, I don't want to jump to the one at the end without telling them that about the one that there is one parable that you can apply to every situation when the word of God is going forth. And I'm going to sum it up for you, but you can read it later on, starting with verse 4 and going on down. Every time the word is released, the word falls on four grounds. You just got to decide which one are you. The word, my task, and anyone who stands to deliver the word, we are to sow the seed of the word of God. To sow it. And so today there are four. Every time the word goes forth, there's four. The first one is that the word will fall on by the wayside. You know how you're walking and it's just by the way. You receive the word, and then as soon as you get out the door, you may not even hit the parking lot, and he come and snatch it. You know how someone come up to you, and you know you get an attitude if you don't catch yourself. You know, you're talking and someone come up to you and they just snatch something out of your hand. Well, when you receive the word and it falls on the wayside, Satan comes immediately and snatches it. And if he snatches it like that, it produces no fruit. That's one. Now, when the word is gone, there are some people who it falls on stony, on a rock, stony grounds. And the stone is you receive it with gladness and you're just excited about the word of God. Oh, we had, the word was powerful. But as a, in the process of time, maybe by the end of the week, persecution, tribulation comes along. And because of the word, and because of that, you are offended. And when you are offended, the word drops, because if it's fall on a rock, there is no roots. Whenever a seed falls and it doesn't fall on solid ground and it falls on a rock, there is no root. So now we have a second seed that's bearing no fruit. Then we come to the thorn. And that's a powerful one because it chokes you. I mean, you hear the word, but the cares. You remember you said we want to be overwhelmed by his presence? Well, sometimes we're overwhelmed with worry. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. God, I don't know what I'm going to do this. You're worried about how you're going to do it. Then you get there, then you're worried about if they're going to receive it. Then you're worried about this and worry. So worry and stress, it chokes the word. And if you choke someone naturally, they can die. And when you choke, when the word is choked, it dies and it bears no fruit. And then you have the one that falls on good ground. Oh, they receive it, they embrace it, and then they go and be a producer of the word. It brings forth a harvest. Some 30. Some 60, some 100. Don't get caught up in the numbers. Because really what he was saying is that there's only one group that produces fruit. And if you produce a basket and someone else produce 10, don't be worried about my 10. As long as you're producing, God is happy. Because he wants us to be fruit producers. All right? So today, as the word go forth, you got to decide which one is the word going to fall on. By the way, on a rock, on the thorn, or in good grounds. And it is my prayer today that, as Jesus said, he that have ears to hear, put your hands on your ears, he that have ears to hear. The scripture said in verse 9, let him hear. Now, if the teacher tells you to hear, if the teacher say, listen, I'm telling you something. That's right. We got to listen. That's right. So the parable here is, and we're teaching this in Bible study, a parable is an earthly story with heavenly insight. And then I was studying it. God said, well, tell me it's an earthly principle, but it's kingdom, earthly example with kingdom principles. All day long, Jesus released kingdom principles, but not to everybody. Now, after he told that story of the parable, somehow there must have been a pause, because it said when he was alone, verse 9. Verse 10, and when he was alone, his disciples asked him, can you tell us a little bit about what you just said? And he said, I want you to know that the kingdom of heaven is given, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Not to non-believers, to every believer, it is given to us to know the secret, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto the others, he said, I'm going to share it in parables. It's a good story. Oh, he had a good speech. I love the speech. The speech was awesome. He said, but for my elect, for my chosen one, followers of the kingdom, he said, I'm going to release kingdom principles. And all throughout the day, when he got a chance, he gave them kingdom principles to the disciples, to those who, and not just the disciples, there were some others who followed along. So to that group, he released it. And he kept saying, he that have an ear to hear, he that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But because Jesus was there, he was saying, he that have ears to hear, I want you to hear me. I'm here. See, we got to get it. They had Jesus in the flesh teaching and unfolding and releasing and imputing and inputting and pouring into them the kingdom principles. Kingdom principles. Why would he pour in kingdom principle? Because he is of the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done. He came to not only save us, but to impart in us the kingdom of God and the principles. You got to know the principles. And he said, you have to decide today, is it going to fall on good ground? Because I'm going to release the mysteries of the kingdom of God by permission of a master teacher. Amen. So I'm excited about this. And he said, tell them I taught all day long. I gave them stories. I told them about the parable. I told them that everything that is hidden going to be manifest. Don't you kid yourself. Tell them every secret will be revealed. He said, because tell them that the word is quick. The word is powerful. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word is a discerner of our thoughts. The word is a discerner of our intent. According to Hebrews 4:12. The word. Give them the word. It is the word that heals. It is the word that saves. It is the word that restores. It is the word of God that has power. And Jesus released it every time he taught. But some of it fell on stony grounds. Some fell by the way. Some fell on thorns. But there were some. It was on good grounds. And I'm aiming for good grounds today. I'm aiming for good grounds today. But you got to have an ear to hear. And after he has said all of that, come with me now to the end of the chapter where we're going to get the actual lesson, the part two of the lesson. Thank you, Lord. He said, not the actual, the part two of the lesson. And he said, tell them, after I did all that teaching, he taught all day long. Taught to the crowd and then taught the disciples. But the scripture in verse 35 said, when evening, while he, let me get it now, I think I skipped. It's okay. And the same day when the eve was come, he said to them, remember these words, let us pass over to the other side. It was not the disciples who said go on the other side. They would have been content to stay on this side. But Jesus said, come, let us cross over to the other side. Now the problem with this example of living example, he did not tell them what they would have to face to get to the other side. We want more anointing. We want to see miracle signs and wonders. He said, but tell them they're going to have to cross over to the other side. And before you get to the other side, there's an unexpected thing that we call the storm of life. And if the truth be known, I can say, Sister Fisher, the storms of life. Oh, you're going to have them. You will have a storm. Save or unsaved, you're going to have a storm. And so Jesus said to them, this is what he said in verse 36, and when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. I can park it there. And he sent the multitude away. I just wanted to let you know, I don't care how many crowds you have, the crowd has got to go home. I don't care who your hanging party is, who your ace in the hole is, there is going to come a storm that you're going to have to turn to the master teacher. You're going to have to turn to God. So he sent the crowd away because it was a lesson that was not a story, a living example that he needed not to teach the crowd, but the followers of Jesus Christ, his disciples. Now, only a master teacher would teach all day and say, okay, that's enough. It's time for a test. I mean, he taught all day. Do you know how many parables scripture doesn't bear? How many parables did he teach all day? Because after every parable, there were kingdom principles released. And now the master teacher said, it's time for a test. Let's see what you have learned all day long. Been coming to church every Sunday, coming to Bible study every Wednesday, coming to Sunday school, looking at folks who don't come to Sunday school, looking at folks who don't come to Bible study or church, and God said, tell them I'm looking at them. I want to know, after you got all that word in you, are you ready for the test? And I ain't talking about no little A, B, C. It could be A, it could be B. No. I'm talking about a test. That if you're not careful, it'll cause you to go under and drown. That's the test I'm talking about. And so when he sent them away. Now the thing about it, it said that there were other little ships. Oh, when you start out on a seashore, there's going to be some other ships. And when you start off, all is calm. You know, you just had a good day with Jesus, and oh, he just done taught you stuff, and you just feel so special because you get stuff that nobody else gets. And you're like, oh my God, he just dropped kingdom principles, heavenly insight into an earthly vessel. This is the day that the Lord has made. I am going to rejoice and be glad because Jesus spoke to me. Oh, you got to know how it feels when Jesus speaks to you. You know, I ain't talking about the crowd. I'm saying to you. But it comes with a cost. So now they're sailing out, and there's some other boats. Now, the only thing about these other little ships, Jesus is not in the ships. He's only on one boat. Now, there are other little ships. Everybody out, getting ready to sail. But the scripture said he's only in one. And I come to tell you today, it may be calm now, but you need to make sure that Jesus is on the ship. Oh, saints, you got to make sure he's on the ship. I came in this morning and I was talking to Sister Marshall, and since somebody else was telling me something and somebody else was telling me something, and they said, oh, I didn't mean to say all this to you. I didn't know you had to do the word. I said, oh, this is all a part of the master's plan. Because her family's in the middle of a storm. Sickness has gripped it. Somebody else, death has gripped it. While you are complaining about what color dress you have on, somebody else is dying. While we were sitting and having our coffee or wherever you was Friday morning, 10 people lost their lives. It started off as a normal Friday morning. Mama, see you in the afternoon. Oh, I don't want to go. Okay, bye. I ain't got time. Just go, go, go. Kid, go. John, go. Bill, go. normal day. But somehow by the time it wasn't even 9 o'clock and the call came in. Can you imagine the parent hearing the news? And you're just saying, Lord, if I can just make it to the school, I don't even know how I'm going to drive there, but if I can make it to the school, I hope it's not my kid. I hope it's not my kid. God, I pray it's not my kid. And then when you get there, the school or the house, the problem is, it is yours. And while yesterday was all glamorous about the royal wedding, and it was great, there was in Texas now, I'm not talking about in Britain where the royal family was, and the wedding took place at 5 or something in the morning, our time. But it's, you know, you had to get up at, you know, their time, I guess our time 7. But anyway, besides that, there was a parent deciding, okay, what am I going to do for the funeral? It can't be happening. This can't be my son. I mean, I just saw them yesterday. Do you understand? While we're talking about minor things, someone else have been confronted with something that they never thought was possible. Bearing the loss. It's the end of the semester. It's the end of the school year. They've done well. We're planning family vacation. But the problem is a storm came up. The calmness is going to shift in a moment. All right? Now, we're going to forget about the other little ships because the scripture doesn't tell us what happened there now. All we're going to focus on now is the ship that Jesus is on and what happens on the ship. And it said, there was a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was full of water. The waves began. Okay, good. That's good. The waves began. Now, you got to understand, among the 12, there are experienced fishermen. I'm not talking amateur. I'm saying experienced fishermen. Peter, John, experienced master fishermen. So initially, they said, oh, we got this. Let him rest. Oh, we got this. Let him rest. Let who rest? Let Jesus keep sleeping. But the problem with it, the experienced one realized they couldn't get it. They didn't know how to manage the boat anymore because the water was coming up. And so it said he was in the hinder part of the ship, verse 38, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, you got to understand, they're trying to understand this thing. I mean, we are struggling up here. I mean, we're fighting in the boat to keep us alive. And we looked and said, help me, Holy Ghost. Jesus is asleep on a cushion. I mean, he's relaxed. I mean, he had a long day. He taught them all day. And the problem is, he's asleep and hell has broke out. And they're saying, good God Almighty, you mean he don't hear the noise? I mean, he don't hear the panic in our voices? I mean, can he not hear that we're just saying, John, get this. No, Matthew, get this. Bonnie, no, wing this. No, wing it that way. Oh, it ain't working. And then somebody had common sense and said, wake up, Jesus. Somebody need to go call Jesus. I'm telling you, when you're in a ship and you're working hard and you done everything you know to do, somebody in the ship got to say, you know what? I got to go talk to Jesus. I need some help today. I need some backup. And I can't get out. I'm drowning. It's not that I'm just sailing with a little bit of water. But if Jesus don't wake up, we're all going to die. So when they got to Jesus, it wasn't like they said, Jesus, how are you? They said, care us not that we perish. It's in a panic state. Now, what do you mean you're asleep? Don't you see the water in the boat? Don't you hear the wind blowing? And they said, carest thou not that we perish, master? You know, even in their stress, they still had a level of respect. They said, master, don't you care? Don't you care? You have to have been through a major storm and you're struggling. You said, Jesus, I mean, I done taught the word of God. I done did what you told me to do. And I got to go now and I got to say, Jesus, don't you care? You have to been in it. You have to been in it. In the middle of the storm. Just got finished teaching Bible study a couple of weeks back. Had a great time. Got in the car and a phone call come in. And my sister said, all is not well. She said, E, and they call me Yvonne. That's my middle name. She said, it ain't looking good. He done dropped at the post office, blood pressure gone, dehydrated. They airlifted him to Savannah, Georgia, which is 45 minutes away. And they said he had a heart attack in the air. It's not looking good. And I said, oh. I said, now what was the first part you said? She said, well, somebody caught him at the post office. He was talking and he passed out. I said, well, the good news is at least somebody was there. The good news. She said, yeah, but it ain't looking good. And I said, okay, let me go talk to my niece, which is her father. And I said, Dr. Thomas said, so you're going to have to get yourself together now because I'm not there. So you're going to have to work with her and get her to her dad. And I got home and told my husband. But then I had to go in the shower. And I had to have a little talk with Jesus. And I said, before I can get any words out, he said to me, Jehovah has the final say. And he said, I'm going to say it to you again, Cynthia. Jehovah has the final say. And I sung it until I began to dance. I sung it until I said, God is my brother. I'm 9 hours, actually 10 hours away. And he said, it's okay because Jehovah, that's me. He said, I have the final say. No matter what the doctor say, Jehovah has the final say. He said, there's no need to fear. He said, I got it. I said, oh God, help him. He said, I already helped him. And I said, sure you did. He said, you can rest on it. Because he could have died at home. And nobody found him. But thanks be to God, he stopped at the post office. The right person knew what to do. Then the ambulance guy knew him and said, I'm going to get you there. Then the helicopter guy, and then the nurse said, when she saw him, she said, I just want you all to know when we saw your brother, we said, there's no hope. And they worked on him for 4 hours as if he had surgery. But early Thursday morning, because I had an event that had 400 people. I said, God, I got 400 people coming on Thursday. My brother is gasping for life. What am I going to do? He said, stand still. Saints, I'm telling you, sometime in the midst of the storm, you got to stand still. You got to stand still. It's harder to stand. It's easy to run. But you're going to have to stand still. And so I can understand how the disciples felt and said, carest thou not that we perish? I know he cared. But I mean, they were saying, if you really cared, you would have got up when you heard it. If you really cared, when I first called you, you would have responded. And I'm not talking to my brothers and my sisters, my husband and my friends and my coworker. I'm talking to Jesus. And he, being the loving master teacher, he got up. Now remember, he sat when he was teaching. He laid down when he was resting. Now everybody on the boat was panicking, and Jesus was in the stillness and the ultimate level of peace in the midst of the storm. Jesus was at peace. And I said, Jesus, why didn't you get up sooner? He said, well, tell them they didn't ask for me. Hey. I said, what? He said, you know, he said, I only come when you call. He said, being that I'm a gentleman, if you say you got your master's and your doctorate and you're the specialist and you're not at playing events and you plan for over 30 years and you're the master cook and chef, I mean, and if the food is burning and you say, well, I'm the master chef and I know how to handle it. He said, well, why would I interject when a master chef is on board? I had master fishermen on board and I needed them to see that as long as they were in control, I couldn't take control. As long as you are in control, Jesus cannot take control. And he won't take control. He said, tell them they got to release control. And he said, ask them, are they ready to release the control? And finally they said, yeah, take for him. I mean, whatever you want to do, do it. Because listen, we're drowning. It's a funny thing when you're in a life or death situation, you do almost anything. Well, what do you want me to do? If you say jump, jump. If you say yell, if you say flip, if you say turn around and say hallelujah 100 times, I'll do it. I just need to make sure that my brother who is sick comes out well. And I'm willing to do whatever is necessary. And he said, all I want you to do is stand still. So he got up. Who got up? He got up. He rose up and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now I want you to get this one. He said, he rebuked, let me get it. I want to make sure. He rebuked the wind. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. The wind. He rebuked the wind. But he spoke to the sea. You got to know when to rebuke. And then you got to know when to say, peace, be still. And he spoke a prophetic word of God. He said, peace, be still. He didn't say 50 words. He didn't say 100 words. He said, peace, be still. 3 words. And because of who he was and is, they said the sea, the wind, calm, and the sea. What, go back. He said the wind cease. You got to come down. And he said, the sea, it was one thing, it said calm. It said it was a great calm because Jesus spoke. Now, after he did all of that, then he turns back to his disciples. Saints, when you're in a storm, whenever the Lord says peace, now, I don't care who else says it, but when the Lord says peace, he said, there will be peace. So you got to know how to get in touch with God so he can release peace. And there will be a calmness. Amen. Okay, I'm almost finished. And verse 40 said, and then he turned to them. I got to talk to them. Now, I talked to the sea first. I talked to the winds first and rebuke it. Then I talked to the sea. I spoke a word. Now, I got to talk to them. Them, you know, followers of Christ. Them who was with me all day long. Them who I gave special nuggets. Them that I poured in the divine word of truth. I need to talk with them. There will come a time that God's going to have to talk to you. He don't like the way you talk. He don't like the way you carry yourself. He don't like your attitude. And at one point in your journey, you ain't got to worry about the pastor, the teacher, the elder, the deacon, and mothers of the Zion to talk. Jesus going to get you one-on-one, and he's going to have a talk with you. Because there's some stuff that he is not pleased with. And this is a conversation Jesus had with his disciples. He said to them, he said, why are you so fearful? And why? And how is it that you have no faith? I told you, not Peter, not Paul. I told you, I said, come, let us go to the other side. Now we're in the middle of the ocean and water is in the boat. I know the water is in the boat. I saw the wind blowing, but you forgot that I was in the boat. The miracle worker, the problem solver, the way maker out of nowhere, the one who took five fish and two loaves of bread and fed 5,000. I'm in the boat. And I can't understand if I'm in the boat. Why are you so fearful? And why is it that you have no confidence that I can get you to the other side? I promise you I was going to get you there. I didn't have to promise you just because I said it. I cannot. There's a lot of things I can do, but I cannot lie. Jesus can do a lot of stuff, but lying ain't one of them. If he said you're going to get over to the other side, you're getting to the other side. The dilemma is, can you trust him when the waters are rising? Can you trust him when the winds are blowing? And I mean, it's not just a little casual wind. I mean, violently blowing. Can you trust God? When the doctor said, I don't know if she's coming out of this one. I don't know if they're going to make it. I don't know. And you got to turn back to Jesus and say, Jesus, don't you care that I'm struggling? Because that's really what they were saying. Don't you care that I'm struggling? And before you get so hard on the disciples, they really were struggling. They were drowning now. And so naturally, they would ask the teacher, you didn't even get up to help us. And he's saying, I am here. I have helped. And now I want to teach you a lesson for you to teach the other followers of Christ, that if I'm in the boat, if I'm in your life, I did not promise you that there will not be trials and tribulations. In fact, I said, in this world you shall have. I mean, just to be clear, so that we're not unclear what the master said. The teacher said, I want you to be clear. In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why should I be of good cheer if I'm going to go through stuff? Because who's overcome? He said, if I have overcome, you've got the overcomer with you. And I promise you, you're not alone. And he said, in fact, I told Peter to write this down months after I'm gone. Cast all your cares upon me. He said, Peter, when you write it, add the last thing that says, for I careth for you. Since you all say, carest thou not that we perish. He said, Peter, when you get converted and all along the line, there's a word that I want you to write down in 1 Peter 5 and 7. And I want you to say, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth for you, so that you and everybody who follows you know that I care. I care for you, but you got to cast it on me. And I promise you that I'll keep you in perfect peace. If you're mine, just stay on me. And if you not just stay on me, but because you trust in me. He said, I'll give you peace, but you're mine. Got to stay on me. And you got to trust me, even when it don't make sense. You got to what? Yeah, you can begin to play now, brother. You got to trust me, even when it doesn't make sense. And so I listened to a lot of songs this week. I listened to the one that says, ride out the storm. He's right there with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never leave you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I said, God, what's another song? He said, tell them I said peace. And actually, the song was written based on Mark 4. It says, Master, the tempest, oh, it's raging. And the billows are tossing high. The sky is overshadowed with blackness. And I don't want you to, I just got to tell you, Lord, there's no shelter. No help. It's not. I don't see another ship. If I could see another ship, we probably would have had some help. He said, and so we only had to conclude that said, carest thou not that we perish? And it said, how canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening and grave is the anger deep? And then I like this part. The wind. Ah, and the waves shall obey the master's will. And all he said was, peace, be still. Oh, we got some stuff to go through this week. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I got a niece who's had block of both kidneys blocked, not even 40 years old. She can barely gasp for air. And she's wondering, Auntie, I'm just wondering when you're going to come. And I said, well, really, I got to go see about my mother and father in love. I got to go see about them first. I said, but what I can do, because I can't be in two places at one time, but what I can do, I can talk to the master. And I can say, Master, I know you care. Can you help her? You know, Sister Marsha, you know when you have someone lying in the hospital and you don't know whether what's going to be the outcome, you just want to have a talk with Jesus and say, peace, be still. I don't know what it is, but I've had a lot of folks who've been sick lately. And so far, everyone came out. But if the master decides to call them in, I still have to say, Master, the tempest is still raging. And the billows are still tossing high. The sky that is over me is blackened. And I don't see no shelter no higher. Carest, don't you care? Oh, carest thou not that we perish? How can thou? Oh, I just love when the song says, how can thou lie asleep when I'm in pain and I have nowhere else to turn. How can you sleep? I just want you all to know there's never a time in scripture that they said Jesus slept but on this one. All the other times he was up doing something. So I just want to speak peace. He said there will be peace. But I'm telling you, whatever the outcome, he can still give you peace. However the outcome, the Lord can still give you peace. And so I speak peace to whatever situation you're facing, whatever storm that is brewing in your life. I speak peace. And it's just not me. I have been commanded by the master teacher to say peace. Be still. And there will be peace. May the Lord bless you. May heaven smile upon you. And when it seems overwhelming, always remember that Jesus, he does care for you.
Doors of the church, just wipe your mouth. Wipe okay. Your lips. Okay.
Okay. We're going to open the door of the church. Amen. And we thank God today. And we just want you to know, if you don't know Jesus, you surely want to get on. You surely want him to get into your boat. So if you don't know him, this is your time to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because you don't have to walk it alone. That's what we need to know. You will never have to walk another trial alone. Because he's with you. Is there one?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.